Mark God out as the source of your blessing.
When I go downtown and get a parking spot, I remember to thank him. Stop and say, thank you, God. When I go to Ala Moana to shop, I stop and pray first for a parking spot. Now, some people say, well, that's stupid. No, I tell you what's stupid. You drive around Ala Moana 5 times, and then you have to park in Kauai. And so I recognize that we're in the presence of God.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. One of the last things Jesus said here on earth is that he would be with us always. He promised he would never leave our side. But too often, we fail to realize or remember that we are in his presence. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us that when we learn to recognize his presence, it will affect us deeply in our daily lives. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Hungry for His Presence.
Well, let's take out our notes as we talk about a people hungry for his presence. Now, the book was not written Irresistible Church. It wasn't written to depict a church that's irresistible to men. It's not a marketing ploy by any far stretch of the imagination. Instead, it's designed to show the marks of a church that's irresistible to heaven. A church where God looks down and says, I can't help but be involved in that church. I can't help but bless that church. So I looked at the churches where the hand of God was on, and I pulled 12 marks of that irresistible church to heaven. And so we're going to go through one mark a week. Now, not only is it a mark that's distinctive of an irresistible church, but it could be converted into marks of an irresistible life. A life that God looks at and says, I just can't help but bless and be involved. So today we're going to take the first one about the presence of God. How do we become a people of his presence? It was in the Old Testament that the only way that the people of God were distinguishable from any other people on the face of the earth was by the presence of God. In fact, Moses said at one time, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we won't move. Because how will anybody know that we're your people except by your presence? The scripture says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. So we want to talk about how do we be a people of his presence that distinguishes us from every other people on the face of the earth. It always brings me back to an event that took place some 3 or 4 years ago with our church. Because of the size of our church, when we've got to move to a different location, it requires maybe an 8-month ramp up because of the size and the scope. And we're so grateful for the school allowing us to utilize this facility. But they had forgotten that they needed this auditorium and gave us about a 3-week notice saying, we need the auditorium. Oh, no. And so we scrambled looking for venues around the city. There were none for the size of this church. And so we tried the university and different auditoriums, nothing. The only possibility was at an open space somewhere, like a park. Well, you can get everybody there if you have a huge sound system, and it has to be twice the size of a regular sound system because here we have walls that keep the sound in. Outside, it's ad infinitum. And then lights for a Saturday evening service. You can even do that. But the one catch will be the elements. You are vulnerable to wind and to rain. Now, when you have lights, everything's vulnerable, susceptible to getting wet and short-circuiting. You got lights, you got electric cords. So I thought, oh, no, we just can't rain. This is crazy. God, you just can't let it rain. So we began praying in advance, 3 weeks in advance. God, just don't let it rain. Just don't let it rain. We'll take care of the rest, but you take care of the rain. So I had an appointment with God, and I had a real serious talk with the Lord. And I said, Lord, you know, we're doing your work. I mean, we're working hard, so you got to do your part. We'll do ours, but no rain. Just let me get this straight now. No rain. And so I pray again, Lord, you know how many years I've been serving you. I've done you well. Done you well. So just no rain. I don't ask much of you, but this one I am. Now, no rain. Well, Saturday night comes, and the clouds start moving in. And now we've got an open stage and students, you know, I mean, our dancers are dancing, and it starts to drizzle. Everything is getting wet. Oh, no, God, come on, God, you can do it. You can do it. I know you can. And so it's wet. And I was afraid the kids would slip. You know, the dancers would whoop, and then just kind of like forever gone. And so I thought, oh, Lord. And I thought, if it rains, it's dangerous because you got electrical cords everywhere and electric guitar players. You know, you could just see something getting shorted and smoke coming out of their ears. Lord, we don't have insurance for this. So, God, I was praying. Well, it drizzled, and it kind of was okay. So I went home that night, and I got on my knees, and I said, Lord, it drizzled tonight, and, you know, I have a heart to let you slide on this one. But, like, tomorrow, we can't have this. No, we can't have this. It's got to be no rain. Well, God must have a sense of humor. Because I got up the next morning, it was pouring rain. I could just hear him in heaven. Now, I get up and I get into my car and I live in a condo. And so when you come out of the condo into the open, boy, the rain was just pelting on my windshield. And I was driving, and by faith, because I needed to be a man of faith, by faith, I wouldn't even turn on my windshield wipers. Well, I get to the park, and it's just pouring rain. And the worship guys are singing, and there's people holding umbrellas over them. I mean, it was a crazy scene. And there's about 15 people in the middle of this big old lawn. Nobody else wanted to come. And they look like wet rats. You know, they're just worse. They're so faithful, and their hair is all flat, no hairdo, mascara's running. Ladies look like that group Kiss, you know. And I go off to the side, and I'm complaining to God. God, I said, come on. Come on, God, I prayed for 3 weeks that you would keep the rain, and look at this. This is crazy. And the people over here are worshiping, and they saw me over there like this, and they thought, oh, look, our pastor, he's worshiping God so fervently. When in actuality, I was just grumbling, come on, God, what is this? I asked you to stop the rain. I've been serving you since I was 19 years old. Come on. The least you can do is stop the rain. And I don't know if God put all of the universe on mute for a second, because all of a sudden things went silent. And I don't know if you've ever heard God speak to you clearly with a loving, reproving tone. But I'm praying like this, and I heard God say very clearly, Wayne, you're more concerned about the absence of rain than you are about the presence of God. I thought, uh-oh. And then he continued. He said, for 3 weeks, all you prayed for was the absence of problems. Never once have you asked for my presence. If I stopped the rain but didn't give you my presence, this would turn into a desert, a barren wasteland. On the other hand, I could give you my presence regardless of the rain, and I could begin a revival that would sweep the state. And I thought, oh my goodness, that is so true. And I'd never forgotten that. I go back to that day where God says, listen, you ask for my presence, I'll take care of the rest. And I had been. I'd been praying every day for the absence of problems. Absence of problems in this, absence of problems in that. Never once had I asked for the presence of the Lord. Because if the presence of God is on your life, He'll take care of the rest. And it could be applied to every single one of us. How often we are more concerned about the absence of problems than we are about the presence of the Lord. And remember, he said, what will distinguish this church from any other church on the face of the earth is not the absence of problems. It's the what? It's the presence of the Lord. Never forgotten that. And today, the very first thing we're going to deal with is how to be a people of his presence. In the New Testament, in the book of Luke chapter 24, two men also are confronted with the presence of God. But they didn't recognize it. It was after Jesus had been tried and crucified, buried and resurrected. Now he's in the spirit form and his resurrected form. And these two are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, 7 miles. So it probably takes them 2.5 hours or so to walk. And Jesus is about to join them on the road in his resurrected state, but in his form, and he's going to walk with them. Now, it's a very interesting thing that you'll note, because they don't recognize him at all. Let me read to you the story of what's going on out of Luke chapter 24. Now, two of them were going to Emmaus, and they were talking to each other about all the things that had taken place. Now, one of the things that the people of Israel wanted in the Messiah, they thought his role was to eradicate the Romans, because the Jews were under Roman occupation. And they figured if the Messiah is going to come, he needs to bring a legion of angels, destroy the Romans, restore the state of Israel to the Jews. But this Jesus didn't come to eradicate Romans. He came to eradicate the power of sin. He didn't come to redeem Israel from the Romans. He came to redeem Israel from their sin. They didn't like that. Well, they're walking to Emmaus, and while they were talking about all of these things, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What are the things you're talking about?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, Cleopas, answered and said, "Are you like just visiting Jerusalem? Are you unaware of what's been happening these days?" Jesus said, "What things?" I mean, the things about Jesus of Nazarene, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and in word, in the sight of God and the people. The chief priests and rulers delivered him to death, crucified him. Now, we were hoping that it would be he who was going to redeem Israel. And it's the third day since all of this happened. But also, he said, some women among us amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning and they didn't find his body. Then they came. And they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Now, some of those with us, we went to see the tomb, found it exactly as the women had said. And Jesus said to them, "Oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken." Slow of heart to believe. Would you say that phrase with me? Slow of heart to believe in all the prophets had spoken. And beginning with Moses, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. Now they approached Emmaus where they were going, and he acted as if he was going to go further, but they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's evening. The day is nearly over." So he went to stay with them, and they sat at a table, and he took bread, blessed it, and broke it and began giving it to them. And at that moment, their eyes were opened and recognized him. He vanished from their sight. And now let's read together, right in at the top of your notes, the rest of the story. Go. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him. And they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen." Now, I want you to picture this. Here's Jerusalem. Two guys, mad, downcast, discouraged, disgusted. Jesus joins them. They get all the way to Emmaus. They don't even recognize him. Now, in the breaking of bread, they recognize him. Oh my goodness, this is Jesus. That very hour, they go back to Jerusalem, stoked, amped, and jazzed. He's alive! Now, watch this. On the way to Emmaus, the presence of God was with them in the person or the form of Christ. On the way back to Jerusalem in the form of the Spirit, because God is with us in spirit, the presence of God is with them on the way back.
But so the presence of God was there both times. Now, but on the way to Emmaus, although the presence of God was there, they were still sad, mad, and disgusted with the presence of God. Over here, presence of God in the Spirit, jazzed, amped, stoked. What made the difference? What caused them to change completely from down to up, from forget it to let's go for it? Was it the presence of God? No, let me tell you, here's what changed them. It wasn't just the presence of God. It was them recognizing the presence of God. This is God Himself. And whoosh, they go back. The presence of God was there to and from. But what made the difference? It wasn't the presence of God. It was them what? Would you write in number one, if we're going to be a people of His presence, what makes the difference is when we what? Recognize the presence of God. It's like John 8:32. It says, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. All right. It says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Here's the truth. All right. Is the truth going to set us free? Here's a Bible full of truth. It's on the shelf. Is mankind now free from sin? No. It's not the truth that'll set you free. It says this, and you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Let me tell you what'll set you free. Not the truth. It's the truth that you know that will set you free. Because you can have the truth on the shelf, but if you don't know it, you can be a Christian, go to church and still struggle and wrestle and fumble and fall. That's why here at New Hope, devotions is so crucial. I'll ring that bell and beat that drum till I die to open the Bible on a daily basis and look at the truth and say, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Now I do. Oh, I didn't know that about the way I think, the way I treat people, the way that I build or destroy relationships. I didn't know that. Problem solved? I didn't know that, but now I do. It's not the truth that sets you free. It's a truth that you recognize and know that'll set you free. And the same thing is true with the presence of God. It's not His presence. The Bible says He's with you always, even unto the end of the age. But it's when you recognize. I tell people, practice recognizing God every day. You got to be willing to recognize that God's alive. I mean, thank Him every day. For example, God didn't need to get you up this morning, but He did. He gave you another breath in your lungs. He could have pulled your ticket last night, but He didn't, and He gave you another day. So when I get up, I have it as a practice. I slide off of the bed, and the first thing that touches the floor are my knees. It's just a habit that I've developed over the years to remember to recognize that I'm alive because of His pleasure. I was given another day because He could have pulled my ticket last night in my sleep. And so I recognize that we're in the presence of God. When I go downtown and get a parking spot, I remember to thank Him. See, here's what I tell people. Mark God out as the source of your blessing. Don't say, oh, here's a parking lot. Oh, coincidence. No, stop and say, thank you, God. When I go to Ala Moana to shop, I stop and pray first for a parking spot. And then I go in. Now, some people say, well, that's stupid. No, I tell you what's stupid. You drive around Ala Moana 5 times, and then you have to park in Kauai to go shop at Ala Moana. Reminds me of a guy that had an interview for a job, and he had to get there, and it was time. He was late, but it was packed with cars. So he drove around the block once, drove around it twice. Now he's getting really late. And he said, oh, God, I need this job. He said, God, please open up a parking spot. And he drives around again, nothing. He said, okay, God, that's it. If you'll open up a parking spot for me, I will stop drinking, I'll stop cussing, and I'll stop yelling at my wife. Just then, right in front of the building, whoosh, there's a parking spot. And he says, oh, hold on, God. Erase that prayer. I just found a parking spot. Thank you. No, mark Him out as the source of your blessing. Mark Him out. If you don't,
what will happen is you'll be slow to believe God will do something great and you'll dismiss it. You'll think, good luck. Good thing happened. Oh, wonderful. No, mark him out as the source. Otherwise, you won't believe. You remember the story? It said, some women said the tomb was empty, and we looked, and we saw no body. And the Lord said, And God said to him, oh, you foolish men, slow of heart to believe. Let me ask you a question. What does it take you to believe? What does it take for you to thank him? What does it take for you to turn to God and say, I am yours, whatever you need? See, for some people, it takes a 2x4 to false crack you before you go, It takes some people to lose their family before they cry out to God. Lose their marriage before they say, okay, I want to really live for God. To lose their health or their finances. What does it take? What does it take? You see, the Lord said to the men, O ye slow of heart to believe. Let me ask you, what kind of heart do you have? Is it slow? See, in every human heart is a dial. The dial will be set on slow of heart to believe, medium of heart to believe, quick of heart to believe. And the Lord said to these two people who didn't even recognize him, he said, your setting is on slow of heart, and it makes you foolish. Here's one of the best prayers you can pray. Holy Spirit, would you reach into my heart and take that dial and turn it to quick to believe? Would you write that in your notes in number 2? In order to be a people of his presence, would you ask God to increase the pace of your heart? Increase the pace of your heart. Let's read what it says here. Luke 24, read it with me. Go. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said. But him we did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. What's the pace of your heart? Is it set on slow? What does it take for you to give your life over to Christ? To change the way that you live? To recognize his presence? Is it set on medium? Is it set on quick? You say, well, Wayne, how do you let the Holy Ghost increase the pace, though? How do you increase the pace? Here's what I say. It's really easy. Let the things of God affect you deeply. When God says something in a service, let it affect you. Don't go to sleep. Let it affect you. Let it touch your heart. You see, after they recognized Jesus, let's read the next verse, and you'll see what I mean. Would you read it with me? Go. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? See, let God touch your heart. Sometimes we're so stoic in church, and God says something or an illustration is told, and but we got to keep it together, keep it together. Don't let it affect me too deeply, because if it affects me, I might change. And oh, no, I cannot do that. And we kind of hold the Lord back from affecting us, because I can't. I got too much invested in the way I've already lived, and boy, I can't do that. I can't change anything. No, let what God says affect you deeply. We're not our hearts burning within us. You know what I noticed about our society? We cry more at movies than we do at real life. We feel more for the cause of save the whales than save our marriage. We give more to win the Super Bowl that nobody remembers than to win souls that will last for eternity.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Hungry for His Presence by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero, and I want you to be one of the first to know that there's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services starting May 17th, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.